Hello, welcome back to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And if this is your first time, I want to encourage you to go to my website, PastorVicsNuggets.com, and where you will find all kinds of resources, Bible teaching material, outlines, text, videos, audios, and all of it is free. All you need is the ability to download it. I'm also available on Facebook at Pastor Vic's Nuggets. I'm also available on Instagram, Pastor Vic's Nuggets again. And of course, Pastor Vic's Nuggets on YouTube. So with that aside, let's move forward into what we want to talk about today. And what we want to talk about is the continuation of the Great Exchange, what took place at the cross of Calvary. And one of the exchanges that we want to talk about is the fact that Jesus took our poverty that we might have eternal riches. The scripture says, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." That's 2 Corinthians 8:9. You see, God wants you to be rich, but the question is, what kind of rich are we talking about? And so before we actually get into talking about riches and poverty, let's take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6:31. And he said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all of these things the Gentiles, the non-believers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But this is what you're supposed to seek." This is verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, it seems clear that Jesus is saying that our focus in life needs to be the kingdom of God. And that is the spiritual nature of the kingdom on earth today. And also seeking his righteousness. That means to pursue what is right in God's eyes, not necessarily what we think is right. And that's why the Bible is so important, because it gives us a guide. And all of this means that we need to be sure that we're pursuing the truth and not a lie. For all of us will experience trouble. It's just a fact of life. But we need not be afraid, for Jesus is with us by his Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul warns us in Colossians 2:8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, and according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." You see, what the Apostle Paul was saying is to make sure that you're following the truth and not that which just sounds appealing. And that's the difficulty. We're attracted to those things that sound appealing. I recently read a quote that speaks to being careful of what you follow or who you follow. And it goes like this: "Any halfway clever devil would decorate the highway to hell as beautiful as possible." You see, we must be careful. All of us can be influenced by what we would rather hear or see than the truth. However, it's the truth of God that will set us free. Now, there is a controversy in Christendom, a controversy between prosperity and poverty, and how they impact us in Christendom. The two extreme sides are the name it and claim it group that claim prosperity is within the grasp of every believer. And then there's the poverty is godliness group, which believes that poverty is the way to holiness. Now, the name it and claim it group believe that God wants to give them every earthly riches, ease and pleasure, cars, houses, money, prestige. All you need to do is just release your faith and God will give it to you. They teach that you're a king's kid, therefore you deserve it all. Now, I'll have to admit, these are very appealing ideas, but they fly against the truth of God's word, as we will see. On the other hand, there's that group of people that believe that poverty is godliness. People proclaiming that suffering in this life is the means of glory in the next life. That sacrifice, going without, and suffering are means of glorifying God. Now, I think you'd agree with me, that's not such an appealing idea. But that also goes against what God's word says. Now, you might conclude that from the two extremes, the two opposite sides, that your truth must lie somewhere in between. And, you know, a little bit of pain and a little bit of joy, but that's also incorrect. So what is the truth about prosperity and suffering according to the scriptures? Well, the truth is no one escapes this life unscathed from troubles. Trials and tribulations you'll have. No one escapes it. It's a part of life on earth. Remember, the earth is fallen. It's saturated with sin, if you will. It's not the way God wanted it, but it's what we have. The scriptures make it clear that men, and it makes it clear that we are not of this world, but we are in this world. Now, the word tribulation or tribulations is used over 30 times in the New Testament. Now, Jesus never talks about believers avoiding the trials and tribulations of life, but that as believers, that we're to press through them because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's how we handle the trials and tribulations of life. That's what glorifies God. Glorifying Jesus through our words and deeds is the point of the Christian life. Whether you're in prosperity or poverty, it's your love for God that glorifies him. Now, when I use the word love in this sense, I mean love not as a sentimental love or feeling, but a love that obeys Jesus regardless of the trials and tribulations we find ourselves in. This kind of love demonstrates faithfulness whether you're in prosperity or poverty, whether you're in success or failure, whether you are in happiness or sadness, whether you are in health or sickness. We need to be careful to understand that there is a worldly perspective and a biblical perspective of the world that we live in. And in many ways, they are totally opposite to one another. Jesus makes it clear that we are in the world, but we're not of the world, because our citizenship is in heaven. We are right now ambassadors representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on this earth. This is not our home. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment to define riches from the world's point of view and God's view, very briefly. From the world's point of view, riches, success, or wealth can be referred to by the three G's. That's gold, girls, guys, and glitter. In other words, money, wealth, lust, and power. Look at what 1 John 1:15 has to say about the worldview. And the writer says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life," those are the three G's, "is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." See, in light of these verses, you have to ask the question, are you seeking his righteousness or are you seeking after the things of the world? Now, God's view has to do more with who you are rather than what you want in life. In other words, God is more interested in your character than your image or your position or your possessions. Jesus wants you to move in the character of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And of course, you probably recognize that as the fruit of the Holy Spirit described in the book of Galatians. You see, if you have his Holy Spirit and his Holy Spirit has you, Then and only then will you experience the love and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, let's take a look at the difference between the world and God's view of what poverty is. From the world's view of poverty is tightly connected to happiness. If only I had this, I would be happy. If I had more of that, I would be happy. But you see, happiness depends on the conditions that you find yourself in. When everything around you is going well and is good, then you're happy. You're at peace. But if the circumstances are bad, then of course you're unhappy. You're in turmoil. Therefore, I hope you can see that the circumstances control your happiness. And I hope you've discovered by now that if you can't control your circumstances, you will be unhappy. I think we'd all agree that we're not always in control of our circumstances. But God's view is not about happiness, it's about joy. And there's a big difference. You see, Jesus is more interested in your joy than your happiness. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Joy depends on knowing Jesus and being in a relationship with him. In John 15:9, Jesus says the following, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Stay in my love. Live in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. Now these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." You see, sometimes when we think of poverty, we think of poverty simply, being hungry or going naked or being homeless. But there are greater poverties, the poverty of being unwanted, the poverty of being unloved, the poverty of being uncared for. But God, through Jesus Christ, has made you the object of his love. He's poured out forgiveness over your life, and he has accepted you into his family. You are forgiven, loved, and accepted. The word prosperity in the Bible has to do with more with success in the journey that we call life than the accumulation of wealth. It's being at peace with your situation, knowing that God is truly in control. It's embracing the promise that he, the Lord, will never leave you nor forsake you. It's knowing that all things are possible with God. It's realizing that all things work together for those that love God and are called to his purpose. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 1, beginning in 1:17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." See, it's not just the head knowledge. It's a knowledge inside. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened to be able to see spiritual things, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Brother, sister, you are a saint. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." See, that's what prosperity is in Jesus Christ. As leaders, we cannot preach what is popular. We must preach the truth. And there's no doubt that the prosperity message of success and wealth is popular, but it appeals to the wrong spirit. Leaders are able to attract crowds and followers by preaching the prosperity message alone. However, many fall away when trials and tribulations come. And that's because they are taught to ask, but they ask amiss. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. What's your motivation? See, that's the real issue here. Is your motivation to glorify God, or is your motivation simply for worldly pleasures? 3 John 1:2, the writer says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." The key is when your soul prospers because of your personal journey with Jesus, you will truly prosper in all things. You will possess something that the world cannot have. You possess something that the world cannot understand. And that's the spiritual nature of your peace. And that means regardless of your circumstances right now, listen, you're born again. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. Your eternal life is secure, and you have a friend in Jesus to carry you through every single day. So prosperity or poverty, that is the question. God wants you to be successful. It isn't that God doesn't want you to have material blessings. The issue is what your motivation. Why do you want success? Is your desire for success to please the Lord or to please yourself? Now, I know this is a challenging message, but my hope, my prayer is that it would cause us to think seriously about what are we looking for in life? Is it simply, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord? Or am I looking to be used as a vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything so that I might spend eternity with him? Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you the next time.